So welcome to another episode of the Swamp Inside Florida Athletics. I'm your co-host, Anthony Beck, along with my other co-host.
The man that's not on the logo, Marcus.
We're trying, Marcus. We're trying.
It's been a year, AB.
We're still trying. People are not getting back to messages about new logos, but we're trying.
If they don't get back, Brad, just go ahead and take a pencil, take a Sharpie, and doodle me on there.
Stickman Marcus on the logo.
That's perfect. That's a good thing. They'll
be laying sideways at the top.
As long as I'm on there, man. I don't care how it happens.
As y'all can see, we are shorthanded tonight. Jerry was not able to join us. I think he might be coaching the kids again. And at this point, they might be throwing the basketballs at him.
If they are, one bit.
Sorry. That's what you signed up for, though. Well, we have a special guest joining us tonight. He's been on before, even though it's been about 150 years. But we have Nick Della Torre from On3, the Gators Online website, and the co-host of Stadium and Gale and baseball fanatic on here. Nick Della Torre, how you doing tonight?
Good, man. Just getting into it. Long weekend with baseball and football. Long month ahead with spring camp and baseball still going.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about that because I know they started practice on Saturday. So were you able to make it over there and then back over for the baseball game?
Yeah, well, the rain helped me out to not miss baseball. So the game was supposed to practice. I probably left the football around 2 after practice and then doing media. And then baseball was supposed to start at 2, but doesn't start till 4:15 because of the rain. So doubleheader for me. Got all my football stuff out of the way. Listen, until my bachelor party in 2 weeks, I'm not missing any football, and I'm only going to miss one football practice for the bachelor party. So, yeah, we don't miss football. That's for sure.
Yes, sir. That's what we like to hear.
Congratulations on the engagement. And
thank you.
You guys heard the bachelor party. So, first of all, I'm setting the over-under of things being broken at 12. And I'm going to take the over because I have a funny feeling this is going to be one of the wildest bachelor parties who have ever graced this.
And going up to the Music City in Nashville. So hopefully no broken bones. Hopefully no broken laws that are found out about. And we get back to Gainesville in one piece and not in prison.
Hey, it's Nashville. So go ahead and have a ball, you know. That's bachelorette party, capital of America.
Over under on broken laws is at 5.
I'll take 4.5.
I'm gonna push at 5.
I'll take 4.5 for one getting dropped.
Yeah, I'm gonna push at 5 with the slight lean towards one getting dropped. Anything over 5, that's a felony, and we won't be seeing Nick in Gainesville for probably about a year or two.
Just shoot for misdemeanors. That's all we ask.
Shoot for nothing.
but we got a good show for y'all tonight. Florida and Miami hooked up again on the baseball field this past weekend. It was very – I watched every single game. It was very chippy from the jump. And shout out to Yohani Morales for pissing off the team and pretty much getting everything started, because once he hit the home run and did what he did, I was like, all right, this is going to be this kind of series. But – Nick, you were there, so what was your takeaway from the entire series from both, really from Florida?
Yeah, I mean, there must have been 20-plus scouts, and it's not just Florida. I mean, you mentioned Yo-Yo Morales. He's going to be a first-rounder this year. Hurston Waldrop is going to be a top-10 pick. Brandon Sproats looking like a top-3-rounder. Josh Rivera is turning himself into a top-5-rounder. I've got so much respect for Josh. He was an immature player. For 3 years, basically got a little bit better last year. But this year he's a totally different guy. His at bats have been, so mature, leads the team in walks, second on the team or third on the team and on base percentage. And he kind of is the heartbeat of the team. He's the one that's the loudest. You always hear him on the field, picking guys up, celebrating with guys, whatever it is at the time. He's great, but I think it's always a little chippy between Florida and Miami. And Florida, listen, they, as good as they are really acting like a little brother in terms of that chip on their shoulder. That first weekend against Charleston Southern, they were chirping at Charleston Southern. And I'm like, guys, this team is not your caliber. Like, this is a team that you would almost be worried about a team overlooking. And instead, Florida's chirping at them. I'm like, who pissed you off? Who made y'all mad? So this team plays with a chip on their shoulder, and it probably has to go or a lot to do with how poorly their season ended last year. Well, I mean, the season didn't end poorly. The halfway through SEC play, or more than halfway through SEC play, they were 6-12, which was the worst start for Sully ever. A young team got better as it went on, but then you lose, you know, in the regional that you host. Now, granted, that was to the eventual national runner-up. But this team plays chippy. And then when you get a home run, and listen, I know the wind was blowing out, but this ball did not need the wind. It estimated at 450. I think it's probably over 500 because the estimation doesn't include the wind. It's just a exit velo and launch angle, and it does its little algorithm calculations. But that ball was nuked. Ooh. Nuked. And I told my Jacob Brunner, my buddy from 247, he goes, we play this game where we get three home run calls, either team, and we keep track all season. Jacob's killing it. Jacob said he called Yo-Yo's home run in the first inning. And I said, if he hits a home run, don't watch him. I said, don't watch the bat. Don't watch the ball. Watch him and watch the bat flip. And he turned to his dugout and just tomahawked his bat. And I was like, whoo, boy. BT Raipel was immediately yelling at him because that's showing the pitcher up. But that, yeah, like you said, that kicked it off all weekend. And Florida comes out and hammers Miami on Friday. They were hammering Miami on Saturday until the bullpen faltered. And I can get more into that, but I'll be long-winded on that. And then Sunday was just an absolute domination by Florida. And I think BT Raipel came in the first inning after he scored. Said we're whooping that today, and that's what happened. I think Florida was mad at some of the way Miami's antics. Miami's a little flashier, celebrates a little bit more than Florida is allowed to, and I think they took exception to that. And you certainly saw it express itself in a multitude of ways, culminating with Ty Evans, you know, walking it off in a 10-run rule on Sunday and breaking the U over his knee.
God, this is great. I ain't gonna lie. It sounds so fun.
It was fun to watch, but at the same time, and by the way, we had BT on the show a few weeks ago, so nice of him to have a couple of great games knowing that he was on this show. So yeah, shout out to you, BT, for the grand slam too, by the way, because once he hit the ball, I was like, yeah, he got all that one.
He tattooed that ball.
Pretty much over. It was over after the first inning. I saw them in game three get four straight two-out hits. They score four runs. Yep. And I'm just sitting there thinking, that's the important part. That's the most important part, being able to get two-out hits consistently. Clutch hitting. Yeah, clutch hitting. They're seeing the ball. So, like, I've watched this baseball team for years, and I'm not sure right now I've ever seen a baseball team see the ball as well as this team is seeing it. I mean, they're leading the nation in what hits, home runs, slugging percentage. Jack Caglione is basically college baseball, Shohei Ohtani. I mean, because he goes out there, he hits home runs. Oh, and he strikes out 10, 11, 12 of you guys. So, I mean, my only concern, you kind of hinted at it, is the bullpen. And saw them load on Saturday.
I still have PTSD from last year's issues with the bullpen, so hearing that was a little concerned. I ain't gonna lie to you.
Yeah, I agree with Marcus. I was having flashbacks to last year. I'm like, oh, this isn't and Blake. And so I kind of wanted to ask a little bit. You don't have to go too much in detail, but about how many guys from that bullpen can Florida really trust as of right now?
I mean, right now you're not trusting any of them, and that's an issue. It's not a lack of talent, and I wrote a big 1,500 words tonight about it, and I put it in there twice because I think people need to hear it again. So the Gators do not have a talent issue in the bullpen. Repeating myself, when you think about the guys that you have, just right-handed pitchers, Nick Ficarota, Yoho Tejada, who's been pitching on weekdays, starting weekdays. But once you get into SEC play, like, hey, that's the three games on Friday, Saturday, Sunday against SEC teams are much more important than the one game against FGCU on Tuesday. I think he's a guy that'll be moved into the bullpen. Blake Purnell, Jameson Fisher. Poor Jameson Fisher has all three losses. He's 0-3 on the year. Flores only has three losses. And then the one that I really like that had a great fall but didn't have a good spring is Cleet Hartsog. He was in line to be the Gators' closer. His fastball just explodes out of his hand. He gets a ton of movement on it. The kid's a competitor, fills up the strike zone, and that's what Flores lacking right now. Like I can live if you blow a save or if you give up a lead out of the bullpen. I can live with you doing that by giving up hits. I can't live with it if you're walking guys, and that's what the bullpen's been doing. And I think there's a pressure to perform when you're getting one or two, you know, opportunities to come out of the bullpen, and that's all you might get in a week. Well, now you have to perform, and you can't go out there and perform at the level that you need to, that you're going to be asked to. If you're putting that kind of pressure on yourself, you have to go out there. You have to trust that the ability that got me here is good enough to drive me and get me through this moment. And if I didn't have the ability and I hadn't shown it, then I wouldn't have my number called right now. So in terms of Rice Flores, a ton. I think they're going to lean on the lefty at least. They're going to lean on Cade Fisher. I think Pierce Capallo will be back, not this week, but either for the Alabama series or for the following series. I think it's Ole Miss, if I'm not getting that wrong. He'll be back for SEC play. It'll be interesting to me where you put him because he's a starter. He's always been a starter. Does he get back? Do you work him in on the weekday to be like a less of a leverage situation, less pressure? Is he a guy? How long does it take him to warm up? Is he a guy that we can get, you know, some middle relief innings out of? If you're starting, you know, a Brandon Sproat, right-handed pitcher, now you're bringing in a 6'9" lefty throwing 95, 96, 97 miles an hour. That's a completely different look. And that could be deadly if he's a guy that's coming out of the bullpen, you know, at his size and the way he throws the ball. And then I just see more from Philip Adder. I mean, he went up to the Cape. He had a good summer. He's a guy that just needs to throw strikes. And I think it's mental for a lot of these Gator pitchers right now. It's easy to get into a rut. Baseball's a game of failure. You have to learn how to deal with that failure and not let it eat you up. And that's kind of what I was talking about Josh Rivera before. He used to strike out and then take that strikeout with him out to shortstop and then make an error because he's thinking about or mad about his strikeout. And now you've made a strikeout cause an error. And now you're taking a strikeout and an error back to the dugout with you into your next at bat and then quickly snowball. So I think some of these failures have snowballed a little bit on the bullpen, and they just need to wipe the chalkboard clean and realize, hey, I'm good enough to be at the University of Florida. I need to start showing it.
Right. Marcus, you had a question?
Yeah, that was my question, but Nick kind of answered it. Like, what's the fundamental issue about the bullpen struggles? Like, is it just giving hits or just not throwing strikes? Like, how do you if it's not throwing strike problem, how do you really, you know, rectify that?
Yeah, I think right now it's just not throwing strikes, and I think that more mental than mechanical. I think it's being afraid to walk batters. Hey, I've walked them before, and I know that gets me pulled out of the game, so I need to not walk this guy. Which means now, okay, instead of just releasing it, trusting your mechanics, trusting the pitch call, trusting your stuff. Now you're trying to aim stuff. And when you start trying to aim stuff, you're either going to yank a fastball or yank a slider. It's going to go way out. Or you're going to end up leaving something right over the middle, and then you get hit. So the biggest problem has been not throwing strikes. And then if you're not throwing strikes to start an at-bat, now you're getting yourself into 2-0 counts, into 3-1 counts, and you're having to throw fastball counts just so you don't walk a guy, which then leads to you getting hit.
Right. And another one from the bullpen, Blake Purnell. I think for him, I'm kind of, it's just not throwing strikes really. Which is kind of surprising because last year he was dominant and just mowing guys down. But
yeah,
I honestly think it's one of those things where it might take a little bit, but I think they can all kind of snap out of it because, and on top of that, you're getting great starts from your starters, and it's like you have to follow that up. I think that kind of ties into, you know, putting that pressure on yourself. Like, I'll look at it, if I'm them, I'll look at it as like, they had a great start. I'm just, let me just go out here and pitch the way I know I'm capable of pitching, and we'll be fine. So I think they'll eventually be fine. I mean, because at the same time, you know, this offense, you know, they're averaging what, 20 runs a game at this point. So
yeah, they're unconscious of the play right now.
I mean, yeah, the lineup's not that. And I was interested to see how Florida would do this weekend because this, I don't think Miami has the best pitching staff that Florida will see this year, but it's the best pitching staff that Florida had seen up until this point. So to me, it was okay, is this offense for real or have they just been feasting on bad arms? The guy that they teed off on Sunday, Rosario, that's a dude. He's a good pitcher. Did not have a good day, but that kind of answered, at least early answered a question for me of, is this lineup for real or were they feasting on bad arms? This lineup's for real. I think they had 10 home runs over the weekend, scored 30 runs. These guys can hit, and the guys that aren't even everyday players, Richie Sheikoffer comes in Friday and has a pinch hit home run. Derek Fabian has an RBI in the first inning. He had an 11 pitch at bat the game as well. Matt Previsk, every time he comes in, it seems like he's getting a pinch hit. Tyler Shelnut's a guy that can hit the ball out of the yard. He had the first home run or second home run of the year. So there's just no easy out in the lineup. Even with Colby Haller struggling, I think you can have one easy, if you even call Colby Haller for an easy out, which I wouldn't. What he does defensively, he's going to save you runs defensively. So I think that's why he continues to be in lineup third base. He's just a gold glove type guy at the hot corner. So this is a lineup that's gonna keep some Friday and Saturday and certainly some Sunday night guys, have them losing sleep once they get into SEC play.
Mark, do you have anything else?
Pretty much covered my bases.
Yeah.
So far.
So another thing I wanted to ask, you know, I was kind of interested in how they would use Jack Caglione because I thought, you know, once I saw he was the Sunday starter, I'm like, okay, maybe he's just going to pitch that day and just focus on that. No, they're letting him go out there and hit. So is that something that kind of surprised you or did you kind of see that coming?
No. Once I thought, okay, so Jack hadn't pitched in about a year because he had Tommy John surgery. But I thought, you know, that first weekend, hey, just go focus on just pitching that first weekend. But the way he was hitting the ball, and he's your third batter, I thought once the second weekend came, I think, hey, he'll start hitting. I originally thought Jack would be the closer and that Brandon Neely or Pierce Capalla would be the starter on Sunday. And I thought, well, that would allow you to keep Jack in the lineup every day. And then you'd have a closer, a guy who's 6'4", 250 pounds, looks like a linebacker. I think Kevin O'Sullivan's done an incredible job of hiding him from Billy Napier. I'm sure there's some football coaches that'll walk by Condren Ballpark and be like, hey, yeah, you ever try to tackle somebody? But Jack's going to be a very, very rich man next June. Not this coming June, but next June, when he might be the first overall draft pick and be rich. There's no need to give yourself CTE. Just keep hitting baseballs and throwing them. But I think they're using him well. And listen, if he keeps going out right now, he's pitched more innings than either of the other two starters as the least experienced guy. He's outlasted in his three starts Brandon Sproat and Hurston Waldrop. Striking guys out, limiting his walks. I think he's still developing his hand a little bit. And I think, you know, especially in his first start, I thought he was batting himself a little bit. He can get wild at times, but his stuff plays. He's a real pitcher and clearly a real hitter, leading the country in runs.
Yeah. It's funny you say he looks like a linebacker because when we had BT on, we were like, yeah, we may have to borrow him for the fall, you know, linebacker, you know, put him on the edge. You know, you can, you know, maybe get us about 10, 11 sacks this year, make the defense a little bit better. And
what did BT say?
He was like, yeah, you said the same thing you said. He's pretty much going to be a rich guy, a rich man very soon.
Hey, you never know. He might, in a couple of years, be a Jacksonville jumbo shrimp. You never know.
Yeah. And at this point, you know, let's borrow Michael Robinson too. Let him just split him out wide. You know, yeah, just run a go route. You'll have it. I mean, because that kid can fly. That kid,
Michael Robinson would be one of the fastest kids on the football team if he went out there. It's hard to like tell people because like baseball runs a 60, so it's like hard to equate what a 60 is. But Michael Robinson, when he was 17 years old, probably faster now. When he was 17 years old, ran a 6.360. And I don't know like what a calculator would be, but like that would make him one of the fastest players in Major League Baseball. And he did that at 17 years old. I don't even think we've seen him really open up and break stride, like get into a full stride yet, get a full head of steam. When he's out in the outfield, he's like jogging to balls that like a lot of other guys just wouldn't even get to.
Yeah, that's what's crazy. I think a 6'3", 6'2" would equate to maybe like a 4.40 or somewhere around there.
It's so, gotta be in the four threes. That's moving.
Maybe 4.3s. Billy. I'm gonna need you to beg O'Sullivan at this point. Can we use it for a few games?
No, make a trade if you must. Like, find somebody like that's a walk on that played baseball in high school or something. Give him a trade or something. Hey, I don't know.
Maybe Max Brown. So I mean.
Yeah, Shout out to Max Brown. Max, I told people this. They were like, well, what's he going to do when football starts? I'm like, listen, Max Brown is on a football scholarship at Florida. He's not missing a meeting. He's not missing a practice. He's missed some lifts and stuff. He missed that whole identity phase. He was with the baseball team. But shout out to Max Brown because Max Brown was at football practice. He actually saw me walking around taking videos and stuff. And he head nod, hey, what's up? And then I get to baseball and sure enough, Brown suited up. I don't know if you shower. Do you even shower before you get into your baseball uniform to then sweat again? But he went from football practice to baseball. He was back at baseball on Sunday. I'm guessing he'll miss baseball Tuesday because the game, the practice and the game kind of run into each other. But that'll be the first time he misses something. I can't stress how hard what he's doing is. To be a student athlete, and I was one for a very short amount of time, is a full-time job. And he is a cool sport student athlete, still taking a full class load. So nothing but respect. And he hasn't played in baseball yet, but you're still going to everything. You're still going to meetings and practice. And you're there 3 hours of the game taking BP. You're sitting in on meetings with Billy and Ryan O'Hara and doing all your football stuff. What he's doing is not easy, and he deserves, you know, he deserves his flowers for what he's doing right now.
Oh, for sure, because we'll do one sport in the major D1 level, especially at University of Florida. That's brutal. Doing two? Mm-hmm. Well, you deserve a Medal of Honor.
Yeah. Sleep, you're not going to know what sleep is at that point. You're not going to know what it is doing one sport. Doing two, yeah, you might as well go ahead and load up on coffee, Coca-Cola, anything else with a lot of caffeine, and because you're going to be pulling some all-nighters. And then you got to – there's a ton of what he's majoring in. Imagine doing that and then being like an engineering major. Yeah, you're definitely not sleeping. So yeah,
I know you're not sleeping.
So, I mean, shout out to him for doing what he's doing. But I guess one of my other questions to you would be about, you know, just the different guys we've seen in this lineup because – I'm going to be honest. I thought Derek Fabian would lock down one of those spots, but this kid, Kate Curlin, that kid is something else. So I can see why it was very difficult to kind of set this lineup because you have so many talented players, guys that played last year are not playing right now, and some of the guys that are playing, like, Curlin should be going to prom, getting ready to go to prom. He's in the SEC and just smoking home runs at the
time. Yeah. I mean, that 1-2-3 with Curlin, Wyatt, and Jack is – and listen, there's 300 and something baseball teams. So like to say it's almost irresponsible for me to say, but like, cause I don't see all of them. I don't know all of them, but give me a list of like how many 1-2-3s around the country are producing like these three are. So for me, it's a good problem to have. Like you said, you know, your Dale Thomas transferred here as a graduate or as a senior. Barely can get him in the lineup. Tyler Shelnut led the junior college ranks with 19 home runs last year. Struggled to get him in the lineup. Derek Fabian, who started at third base a ton last year, I think he has 9 at-bats on the season. You've got so many guys, and that's where I get into. And the hitters have handled it a little bit better than the pitchers, but it's so easy to press. Like, hey, especially Derek Fabian, hadn't played in over a week. Hadn't gotten a live at bat in over a week. And his first at bat comes with 2 outs in the first inning, and he gets an RBI single up the middle. So to not add pressure to yourself in an already very difficult game just shows how mentally strong these guys are. And another thing I put in my article today was just that you always hear about, hey, we have great team chemistry. This team is super close. And then, you know, a little bit of adversity hits, and then you start to see tweets and stuff, and you're like, okay, y'all aren't that close, or you don't believe in the coaches. I think this Florida team is very close. And guys like Derek Fabian, Tyler Shelnut, and Dale Thomas are the first ones up off the bench to congratulate guys who are playing their position when they hit a home run or when they score or when they get a double. So I think you see a lot of selflessness on this team. At least through the first 13 games.
Right.
That's actually very great to hear, because like baseball is a long season, and baseball is, like you said, a game of failure, and it's good to have leadership stepping up and keeping everything afloat. So that's good news there.
Yeah, and I'm also enjoying Wyatt Langford for the year that we have, because you mentioned the top three. You have Curlin, who should still be in high school. And then you have put the preseason first team All-American right behind him in Wyatt Langford. Oh, and batting third is the guy that's leading the nation in home runs right now and also striking out 14 guys a game when he started. So, yeah, because it's bad enough you got a pitch on him, but now you're getting the 6'4", 250, 97 miles an hour from the left side. Yeah, that's scary to deal with. And I can't wait for Pierce Capaldo to come back, because if he looks like he did – and his only start last year, put him in the bullpen to kind of alleviate all the pain that we've seen so far.
Pain don't even begin to describe it. But, like, it's a projection because it is the one game we saw. But if he's right, we got something here.
He's really good. And then not to get too far ahead of myself, but next year you're going to have a 6'4" and a 6'8" lefty facing on the weekends when you come play Florida with Capaldo and Caglione on the weekends.
Oh.
Yeah, that's going to be
– you had me a lefty.
that's going to be scary. And we know you kind of got a little time, kind of pressed time, but before we get you out of here, we made a hire on the football side as well, and we're looking to make one more. So what are your thoughts on the Russ Callaway hire for the Titans? So I personally like it.
Yeah, I think Russ is a name we'd heard all along. I think he's a guy that fans won't be like super excited about, but like what tight end name would you have been excited about?
They wanted
what was the sexy tie? They wanted Ty Darlington, but I think if you got Ty Darlington, people wouldn't have been excited. They're like, what do you mean you got University of Incarnate Words tight ends coach? You know, that's I was already reading the tweets.
Yeah, like it's a tight ends coach, guys. Like,
look, some fans wanted Juwan Sider. I'm like, yeah,
Juwan Sider's not coming. He doesn't want to coach tight ends. His family's very happy up in Happy Valley. Juwan Sider wasn't coming. I don't know what, but Russ Callaway was a great offensive coordinator at Samford. I know that's FCS, but they led the FCS in passing yards per game in 2018. Fourth in total offense that season. Devin Hodges actually tore it up for them. He broke Walter Payton's he was the Walter Payton Award winner and broke Steve McNair's FCS passing record. It remains to be seen how good of a recruiter he'll be. But I think he's a really good coach. Now, can he coach tight ends? We'll find that out too. But what is tight end in Florida's offense too? I mean, it was an extension of the offensive line last year. So to me, it's okay. Well, you're not coaching them up that much. You could have had Rob Sale walk over and coach the tight ends, and they were practically in his room anyway. I think you need to be a good recruiter. A tight end, I don't know how much you're – like Tim Brewster wasn't – as much as he wants to, you know, put all the guys that he coached on his, you know, on his resume, I don't know that Tim Brewster was ever, you know, an award-winning coach, but he was a dog on the recruiting trail. And Tim Brewster got Dalvin Cook to, you know, lead Florida along for, you know, for 6 months and then flip, you know, in devastating fashion right before signing day. Like Tim Brewster is a guy that's going to go out and make you better, whether it's a – player at his position room or somewhere else. So I think if you're going to be a tight ends coach, you need to be a recruiter. So I think that's where we need to see Russ Callaway come out and earn his stripes. But I think as a coach, he's really good X's and O's, and he'll be good for Florida on the field.
Well, I can't confirm that about Brewster, by the way, because I knew kids back when I was in high school that were getting recruited by him. Kids that signed with him, he is a dog on the trail. I will say that.
Why you had to bring up Dalvin Cook, man?
Dalvin's my boy still, bro. I love Dalvin. Dalvin was always good to me. Always picked up the phone. Always hit me back when I text him. And Dalvin was great for clicks back in the day, man. That Under Armour week, my goodness. I wrote a Dalvin Cook story every day until the day before when he told me it was FSU, and I was like, all right, bro, I can't do this to Gator fans anymore. It's been a fun week, but I'm done.
Yeah, that was the one time I wanted to jump through my TV when I saw him do that live. Hey, I'm going to University of Florida State. I'm like, bro, come on, man.
Hey, man, yeah. The game is the game.
Yeah, that's true. And wide receivers coach is the only position left to fill. So, what are you hearing? Anything? Any potential names there? Or
yeah, I'm expecting them to hire someone this week. David Decker is a guy who has been talked about being promoted. They've had multiple interviews. I think they've interviewed more than 10 people, both on Zoom. And they had guys at practice, watching practice, who were interviewed by Billy in person last Saturday. The important thing to know, I've only known Billy for, you know, a little bit over a year, but I tweeted a while back, like, I think he's honest, and he has a way of saying 1,000 words while saying nothing. But if you read between the lines and some of the stuff he says, I think he's going to be honest with you. And he said, listen, he's not going to just make a hire because fans want to have a hire in place for spring camp. And he's not going to hire someone and then fire him a month later. He'll go the entire spring if he needs to, if he doesn't find the guy without a wide receivers coach. And they'll have, you know, David Decker and graduate assistants coach that position. But I think that they've interviewed enough people that I think a decision will be coming soon.
That's good. Mark, is he adding anything else? Or?
Well, speaking on coaches, we have a defensive coordinator now. So how different do you anticipate this defense being? Because I've seen Scooby Williams now as listed as an edge.
That shouldn't have been happened already.
Yeah, I was like, I saw him working inside, like when he had to play in the season, it was not working.
No, but
it wasn't.
I think Austin Armstrong, he worked under Tony at UL as a graduate assistant. I think the schemes will be a little bit different, but I think the base knowledge and the terminology that is used will be the same. He's very aggressive. I think they play a lot of cover three. I don't know that it's Todd Grantham, engage eight aggressive, but he is aggressive. There will be blitzing, and it remains to be seen for me. Like, listen, I don't know about him, but I was told from sources that I trust, Oregon offered him a job. Georgia told him, Kirby Smart told Austin Armstrong, hey, if Will Muschamp gets another job and leaves, we will bring you in to be a co-DC. And that was a plan. He said, just stay in place. Stay at Southern Miss, because if Will leaves, we want to bring you in and do that. And when Nick Saban calls, you answer. So to me, you got a Kirby Smart stamp. you got a Nick Saban stamp. That's good enough for me to, you know, at least give you enough opportunity to show me that I'm wrong.
Yeah, as long as we ain't blitzing from like 20 yards away, like Todd Grantham and McGay J, I am fine.
And I even heard Saban wanted him to be the defense coordinator, and maybe in a year or two.
Yeah.
Even after he got hired. And speaking of blitzes, I'm glad you brought that up. Please, for the love of God, tell us we will not see two corners blitzing at the same time. Please.
I hope not. If I see it in practice, I'll let you know. I'll tweet it at both of you.
Look.
Alert, alert, alert. The double cornerback blitz. That'll be the tweet.
I don't know.
Oh, man.
I'm going to roll up on the Jameson for the season if that happens.
Me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not usually a bourbon guy, but if I see that, I might have to become one.
Yeah.
I'm a bourbon guy since I'm
You may have to recommend one to me. And before we get you out of here, by the way, speaking of takes, you kind of threw me into a steak take a few weeks ago. Marcus, I don't know if you saw this.
No, he deserved it.
Why am I in it? A video that I posted.
What did you do, AB?
I did nothing.
No, all I did was take AB's bad steak take from the message board to a larger audience on Twitter. And listen, when you have a take this atrocious, you need to be publicly shamed for it to learn the error of your ways.
What was the take? I gotta hear this.
He goes to a fine steakhouse and asks them, "Hey, that cow you killed, can you take it out back, run it over with the car, dehydrate it, make it beef jerky? I know the steak costs $70, but if you could just make it beef jerky and take any moisture or flavor from it, I would like that well done steak, sir."
Baby, what's wrong with you?
That is a myth that you can have a well-done steak without flavor and moisture. You can have it with flavor and moisture. Trust me.
Yeah, I've had Jack Lee's beef jerky. They put some teriyaki on it. There's flavor in beef jerky. I'm not going to a steakhouse for beef jerky. That's for the gas station.
All I said was if I go to a steakhouse and you serve me a steak that's rare or medium rare, I feel like you're trying to kill me. So at that point, I got to defend myself.
There's nothing wrong with medium rare. Okay, medium, okay, I can see.
No. You serve it to medium rare. We're going to have to take this outside because now I feel like I got to defend myself now.
Oh, you want those I don't want blood on my steak type of people? It's not blood.
Would medium work for either of you?
No. If it ain't mooing, we ain't chewing.
You know what's funny? I went out with some friends and went to a steakhouse. One of the guys literally said he wanted a steak, right? Did they ask how he wanted it? He literally said that. I want it mooing.
Rare, baby.
I'm like, bro, just say rare at this point. Why do you have to say it like that?
Least he didn't say blue rare. But then in that case, it's like, put a couple stitches on it. It's going back on the farm.
Yeah.
At that point, though, if you eat blue rare steak, at this point, you need to be arrested.
It'd be steak tartare.
Take the horns off it and sear it. Bring it to me.
We definitely appreciate you for coming on. Gotta have you on more if you ever have time because I know you're busy with baseball at this point. I gotta get out to that ballpark too. By the way,
it's beautiful, man.
Like that ballpark is nice. I gotta get out there.
Listen, man, I got silked to a game. There's no excuse. I got silked to drive up for a baseball game.
I saw
the first thing silked
two. You got two out of them.
Yeah.
You got two out of silk.
You got two. I think it was Friday and Saturday night.
No. I got two. I got Dan and Soap to come, but they just were there Friday.
Oh, yeah, but but they didn't have to work like some people did. So
it is what it is, AB. I've only been to like two baseball games, and that was in like 2016 because I had a friend on the team at the time. So
who was that?
Keenan Bell.
Oh, Keenan Bell's a great dude, man.
Yeah, how's Keenan doing, by the way, Marcus?
He's doing a little banking stuff right now. He's up in New Jersey. Out here living the dream.
Ooh, he's cold.
Yeah, I know he cold.
He fighting for his life, but we doing all
right. Shoveling snow, fighting for his life.
Hey, he's people from Illinois, so I think he got a little bit of cold blood in him. But,
okay.
You know.
That's good. But, yeah, Nick, we definitely appreciate you for coming on. Let everybody know where they can follow you and read your stuff. And you know, for bad steak takes, all good.
They got you for that.
Shambolic takes deserve to be shamed, baby. It is what it is.
Hey. It is what it is. I appreciate you guys having me on. It's Gators Online, running a $10 special right now. Anthony's on our site. I think it's worth $10. And then Twitter handle's right down there or there. At Delatory, you got your steak reviews and bat flip grades all baseball season. We gave Ty Evans a 9.8.
Oh wow!
Here we go.
USF fans, follow Nick is what? Oh wait,
no. We have the USF game. I said nothing but good things about the Bulls. Nothing but good things about the Bulls when they played Florida.
Did you make the drive to Tampa?
I did not make the drive to Tampa. No.
Oh man. I'm sure they would have loved to have seen you.
But he said great things, and he was received with nothing but universal acclaim. So that's all we got.
That's good.
We're working our way back.
There we go.
And we definitely appreciate you for joining us. Hey, welcome on anytime you want to come on. So we definitely appreciate it.
All right, y'all boys be easy.
All right, you too, man. Have a good one.
All right, Nick.
That was Nick Delatorre, people. I don't know why y'all shame me for the steak takes. I feel attacked. I feel targeted.
You deserve to be attacked. Now, I will say, though, my steaks, I eat them, like, medium well or, like, medium rare if I'm in the mood.
Ooh! Nick, if you listen to this, if you listen back on this, you just heard him say medium well. I do medium well.
Medium well's not terrible, but, like, you're kind of on the borderline of taking the flavor and the juices out of it. So, like, medium rare is probably what I'll gravitate to for the most part.
Look, people, I'm gonna kill this myth right now. You can have a well-done steak that's still tender, juicy, and flavorful.
Yeah, tender means you chew on a damn charcoal.
Tender as in you cut into it and it's pretty much like medium rare. You can do that. I've done that numerous times. Yes, it's possible.
I don't believe you.
It's possible. It's very possible.
All right, AB, whatever you say. Whatever you say. But I'm just letting everybody know, the listeners have heard you, and you'll be hearing back from them.
Oh, yeah, I will be hearing back from them. They're gonna flame. Now, a couple years ago, there was a steak that was cut. You know how they cut tri-tip, and it's pretty much spread out. So it was a steak cut like that, and it was rare. And I quote tweeted and said, look, if you serve me steak like this, I feel like you're going to kill me, and we're going to have to fight.
Oh,
like, this cannot happen. And
you'll be okay.
My notifications were, yeah. I shut my phone off.
Oh, my gosh. They played you that bad?
They killed my notification. At first, I was going back and forth, but I was like, you know what? Oh, this is too much. I'm done.
Well, shambolic takes get flames. That's just how it goes. You know how it is. The game is the game.
It's not true, but yeah.
It is true, but okay.
But yeah, we're going to kind of transition to combine talk. We're going to recap it. So, Marcus, your thoughts on the Florida players that participated in the combine. You can start with any position group.
If I speak on this position group, I will be in big trouble.
Go ahead.
The defensive ends who played safety for us.
Oh, my God. Look, the defensive ends ran faster than them.
I wasn't going to say that, but you got it.
No, I'm going to say it. I don't care. I'm going to say
it. There's no way in hell you run 4.74s and 4.75s at safety and expect to be drafted.
And you have 6'4", 245, 250-pound defensive lineman running 4.39.
Yeah, it's kind of an issue there. Plus, to trainings, thing, he said he had, like, hip injuries and hip surgeries and things like that.
Okay, I understand that.
I get that. I'm not gonna beat him up for that. It is what it is. But Torrance,
good.
I don't know, bro. It didn't look good.
That didn't look good. But trading, yeah, I can understand. If you had a hip injury, I can understand that because that will definitely knock your time. And after hearing that, I definitely expect him to vastly improve his time at pro day.
I just hope he stays healthy, really, because hip injuries are never good. Especially with labels and things like that, that's never good at all.
And on top of that, when you watch it on, especially like against the run, he's pretty darn good.
He's willing, which is the good part.
Yeah, he's really good at stopping the run.
He's a strong player, as evidenced by the bench. However, you want to take stock in that. He did well in that.
He hit 25. He did. He tried to break the record. He came close, but he hit 25. I think he was one away from the record. So, yeah, heck of a player, strong player. So,
He'll land on his practice squad. He'll be a UDFA probably, just because of the time and everything. But he'll land somewhere
unless he improves in that pro day. If he does that, I think
he might slip into the 7th, maybe, because that's special teamer to start out with type of stuff.
Hey, you never know. You might be a round pick. All of a sudden, you become a key part of that team, and that team wins the Super Bowl. Just ask Isaiah Pacheco.
Hey, take it however you can get it.
Yeah. But Brenton Cox didn't surprise me with how he performed.
Yeah, he ran like a 4.6 guy before. He played like it.
Yeah, so Osiris Torrance, he looked good when he was out there. I think he tweaked something, though, so he didn't do all the drills, but the drills he did do, he looked really good out there and showed why.
He's about as safe as bet as you can possibly get from anybody in this draft, regardless of position.
Exactly. And
if he's at 24 and there's nobody else there, I'm sprinting at the damn podium. Hell, even if someone is there at 24, I sprint at the podium.
No, do not let Jacksonville get him.
Why? What's wrong with that?
Let him go in the top 15.
Oh, brother.
Yeah.
I'm being selfish here, but, you know, we met with him at the combine. I'll say that. We liked him too. See? We're both in the top. We're both in the 20s.
Yeah. What are you doing in the 20s? You're supposed to be in the top five.
Times are changing, buddy.
Who told y'all to join us?
Times are changing, buddy.
Y'all had to hear from Marcus earlier today. They sat here and they sat here and pretty much he wouldn't stop talking about Calvin Ridley.
You're damn right. And now he's back. Reinstated. Back in the NFL on my team.
Oh Lord.
I'm gonna cry. I pray for times like this.
This man crying.
Hold on, I'll be right back.
This man is crying over. Oh, Lord. Y'all, this is what I got to deal with.
Let me have this, damn it.
Just tell him not to gamble no more.
Hey man, we got it. I'll do the parlays. I'll put it in my name. We got this.
You do know that's illegal. Okay, that breaking laws. Okay, but
Hey man, yeah. I live on the wild side. No, I'll do the parlays. I'll do what I gotta do. I'll hold on to the winnings after the season. I'm kidding, but in all seriousness, welcome back, Calvin.
Now Justin Shorter looked really, really good out there. The time he ran, good time for
good for his size, good for what he does.
Yeah, really, really good time. He ran crisp routes. He looked really good out there, and I think he's made himself some money. I think he could slide up a little bit more on the draft boards. All I'm gonna say is this: whoever gets him, they're gonna get a hard worker. They're gonna get a guy that wants to be out there that was gonna compete. And don't be surprised you see him make an impact next season, as soon as next season.
I don't know what he's gonna do at the NFL level. I generally don't, but if you find him in the fourth, maybe fifth round, you'll get something. That's about as good as you can get at that round. And besides, you can find players late. It's a diamond in the rough.
Right. It's a deep receiver class. It's a deep running back class, so
yeah, like it's a deep receiver class in the sense that there's not like headliners where it's like, oh shit, I have to get that man number 5 or number like 10. But there's guys that they can play, and if you find them in second, third, some guys are gonna slide or late in the first. You'll get a decent player. You'll get a good player. You'll get someone's productive. You might find diamond in the rough like Shorter if that's what it comes to. In the running back class, you got some burn. You got your headlines like Bijan Robinson. Like, we all know he's like the crown jewel of his running back class. But you can find a Devon Achane who's really, really fast.
I'm going to tell you right now, though.
What you got?
Say that about Bijan Robinson. Jahmyr Gibbs.
Woo!
Absolutely way exceeded everybody's expectations.
Oh, by a lot. I knew he was an athletic player. I knew he was going to test well. But damn.
Yeah, I'm telling you right now. Depending on where Bijan gets drafted or where they project him, y'all might want to put Jahmyr Gibbs' name up there too.
I kind of hate I see like the James Cook comparisons from some people where it's like he's better than James Cook in every conceivable way.
It's Alvin Kamara all the way. He's Alvin Kamara. I look at him and the way he plays and look at Gibbs and the way he plays. Eerily similar. It's eerily similar.
It's like looking in the mirror looking at those two guys.
Yeah, you pretty much put him anywhere in for the love of God, please not Philly.
I think Bijan Robinson in Philly for Jahmyr, honestly.
No, I don't want neither one of them in Philly.
They need a running back because Miles Sanders is gone and those guys are better than Miles Sanders. So
yeah, definitely Jay Money. Yeah, he told us that's why he wasn't on the show last week. Prayers up to you, man. Definitely.
Yeah, for sure, man, for sure.
But
our number one patron.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Let's get to the star of the combine, though. Oh, Lord.
Let's talk.
Anthony Richardson.
What was his 40 time again? For the people at home?
Official 4.43 40 time.
4.43 40 time at how big?
At 6'4", and I want to say 244 pounds, somewhere around that. 6'4", 244.
Now, did that running ability translate to the football field?
Oh, yes, it did.
Okay.
And once he said he was going to perform and do everything out there, all the scouts knew he was going to jump out of the gym. He was going to run a really good 40. The athleticism was already there. They wanted to see him throw the ball, and boy, did he put on a show.
He looked good enough out there.
Him and C.J. Stroud both put on the show, but the throws that Anthony Richardson made were they're just showing you exactly why scouts are just salivating over him because they know that, yeah, he just needs reps, but once he gets the coaching and he gets those reps and puts it all together, if he's making throws like that now, he does that in the NFL with good coaching. You not only have the best quarterback in this draft, but there's the potential he turns into the best quarterback in the NFL for years to come.
Now, the thing about Anthony Richardson is, like, his combine performance to me was one of those things where it confirmed – like, the combine for me is what you do to confirm priors about a player or, like, look back at some things. Anthony Richardson put on a show where it was like, okay, if I already liked him coming in, I'd like him even more. If I wasn't as big on him, I still have those questions. But, like, the things you saw on tape with his athleticism, things like that, that checks out.
Right.
And if you're going to be a project type of player, like he is going to be, at least be someone where, like, you look at them on tape and you see, okay, he's not dumb. He's not just being reckless. He doesn't know what he's doing. Because he very clearly does if you watch it on tape. He knows what he's doing. He knows the ball has to go. He's a hard worker. He's a great kid.
Yep.
He understands the schemes. He understands the protections. He understands his reads. He understands his progressions. It's just working on his feet. And if you were a coach, you want to look at a guy like that, who's good, as good an athlete as he is at that size. He's smart. He works hard. Good to the community. It's like, okay, I can work with this. I can fix that.
Yep.
I can get him in the film room. I can coach that up. I can get his mechanics down.
Because
that's the guy you risk a job on.
Yeah, because all the flaws they say he has is all coachable. And the thing for me is, you know, they're still saying Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud should be the first two quarterbacks off the board.
I think they should, but
be real,
make a case.
Yeah, Anthony Richardson ain't no gonna make a case. He did make a case. I don't think it's a lock anymore that either one of those two are the first two guys off the board. And the Bears pretty much confirmed. They're pretty much confirming they're trading the number one overall pick. I'm looking at Indianapolis. They were in that stadium. Their whole brass was there. I know he met with the Seahawks, and he said, you know, the meeting with the Seahawks, the report just
paid Geno. So, yeah.
They paid Geno. And a shout-out to Geno Smith. You deserve all that money that you got.
Yes, sir.
You had – everybody wrote you off, and you had –
didn't write back.
Look, you got your money. I'm happy for you. I hope you continue to shine and you continue to improve on the things that you did this past season, elevate it next season, because He deserves a shot. He really.
It's not too many guys that by like the 10th or some odd season in the NFL, or like by the age of 30 some odd years old as he is, that bloom as late as he does, as late as he did. But I'm very happy that he managed to find a home. He found a place that fit him and the team to put his armor, their arms around him. And right. he said that the first game, they wrote me off buying right back. Shit, he wrote back today. $103 million.
Yep. Deserve all them. 105, actually, I think.
105. Oh. Right? Extra $2 million on top of that. Let's go.
So, happy for him. So, I don't know if Seattle's going to be the place, even though he said that it was a different report, but I'm looking at the Indianapolis Colts. I'm telling you. I think they trade up for that number one pick. I'm not sure if it's going to be Bryce Young. I'm not sure if it's going to be C.J. Stroud. I honestly think, and this is just a bold take. It's a gut feeling. I think they'll go Anthony Richardson at number one. I really honestly do. I honestly do because I know they saw that and thought, you know what? Yeah, there's some things that are fixable that he's got to work on, but that's a kid that you just can't pass up on. With that size, athleticism, and the way he threw the ball, he's one of those guys where if you pass up on him, you're making a mistake. Now, you won't go wrong picking Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud. You won't go wrong because those two quarterbacks are, and by the way, y'all stop knocking Bryce Young for his height.
Please, for the love of God, why are we doing this?
Why are we doing this?
The man, I know he was this short by when he was in high school. He was the number one prospect in the country. You knew he was this short in college when he was making every throw on the field and creating outside the pocket.
And what a Heisman.
And tore up one of the best college defenses I've ever seen.
Exactly. So stop knocking him for his height. You can't go wrong with him or C.J. Stroud, who honestly was by far the best player in the Big Ten the last 2 years.
I don't get why people are so down on C.J. Stroud right now. He's like he's flying under the radar for whatever reason. I don't get it.
Like, did you not watch him throw the ball this past week?
Like, he was probably the best passer out there and wasn't really all that close, to be honest with you.
Exactly. So it's like, what are we doing here? And if Bryce Young would have performed out there, he would have looked just as good. So, like, what are we doing here?
Like, you can't go wrong here, guys. Just don't overthink it. Don't try to knock them for silly shit that people tend to do. But this is what happens when you give GMs time to think. You get silly season.
Yeah, so I think those are the three quarterbacks you can't go wrong with. Now, there's a quarterback that I didn't mention for a reason.
Well, does his name rhyme with Kill Sevis?
Whoa. It does, but I don't know if you want to use the word kill.
Okay. Neil Sevis. How about
that? Neil or Bill?
I mean, Bill's a little close to Will because
Bill, like really Bill Weavis. Yes.
Will Weavis. Yes. But no, in all seriousness, so I don't hate, I'm not as low on them as other people. I don't like them that much. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. I mean, I think he could be good if he's in the right situation.
Yeah, just give him the right situation. I think he can be fine, but I don't like his, you know, the way he's like. Is his old quality is that, oh, he stands tough in the pocket, which that's all really good. But like, for as older as he is, as compared to these other prospects, and for as much as he's been playing, he's kind of a little slow in that department of just getting rid of the damn football.
Yeah, and that, and the fact that how much can he really improve on? Like, I'm not saying he's a finished product, but you look at guys like Richardson, Young, and Stroud. Like, Young and Stroud are, you know, they like, Bryce Young played at modern day, so that's quarterback factory there.
Like, you know who those two are.
Yeah, Richie, you know,
he's the wild card, but he has the athletic abilities and the tools to where it's like, okay, I can get with him, I can work with him, and make him into something. Just put my arms around him, and my always just put my arms around him, and we can make something happen. Levis is really one of those guys where you're absolutely reaching and risking your entire job for in the top 5 or 10.
Yeah, and the last Kentucky quarterback to go this high, How many quarterbacks did the Browns go through after him?
I mean, to be fair, he got sent to a team that was starting completely over. So, I mean, it's not all on him.
I will admit that, yeah, that wasn't exactly the best situation. So,
it was the worst situation possible. But they also passed him. They also passed him Donovan McNabb. So
I'm to the life of me, I'm still not understanding that.
It came down to Tim Couch and Akili Smith. Yes.
Well,
Tim Couch and Akili Smith. And they saw Akili Smith on another team in Ohio. Didn't go very well. Then again, they were bad. They were terrible in the '90s too. So I mean, it was bad situations either way. But Akili Smith should not be on top five pick.
Yeah, he should. Now, Marcus, you had that look on your face when I said Richardson could possibly be number one. Why do you disagree with that?
Because I wouldn't take him number one. That's a me thing.
I'm not saying I would, but I'm just thinking about the Colts with Shane Steichen as the head coach, him having Jalen Hurts last year as offensive coordinator in Philadelphia, working with him, kind of putting it together. I'm like, you know what?
Don't hate it, but personally,
see Richardson think this is a possible generational talent here, and if I can do with him what I did with Hurts, this thing could take off.
Because the Colts aren't that far off; they're a little overrated as a team and as a roster, but like they're not terribly far off. I mean, they're also playing AFC South. Like, who else do you got to contend with? That's how it was. Houston, who's also rebuilding in the same spot. Tennessee, who's kind of on the crossroads right now.
Right.
Now, it's just for me, I would probably just personally just take Stroud if I were trading up if I were Indy because he's the best passer out of this group right now. He has pinpoint accuracy. He's athletic enough. He can make things happen. That's just me. But Anthony Richardson, I wouldn't be surprised or anything. It's not like a, oh my God, they did what type of situation, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I would do it. Yeah, it's not the Raiders taking Cleveland Farrell at number four overall.
I still don't know what the hell they did that.
I don't think anybody knows why they did that. I mean, what were they thinking?
Josh Allen's right there. What are y'all doing?
Yeah, you let him go to Jacksonville. What is wrong with y'all?
I mean, Josh Allen's like fine. Like he's not like a blowaway pass rusher or anything like that, but he's better than Cleveland Farrell by a lot.
Yeah, exactly. What were y'all thinking? But I look at Richardson and I think, would he be best suited for Indianapolis or a team like Carolina? Or
I like Carolina.
Yeah, Seattle honestly is the by far would be the best situation.
But he's at the bunch, so that's a plus.
But if it's between Indianapolis and Carolina, I agree with you. I think Carolina would be the better situation.
It's close, but I do like them because they're in a weaker division.
Yeah.
You know, the AFC South isn't that great either, but like, the AFC South has actually one team that people expect to be out there. AFC South's a wild card. You can be in there, win maybe 8 or 9 games, and you're probably going to be the best team by far because Tampa's dealing with a rebuild because Brady's gone, or is he?
Love of God, Brady, retire.
Can't be a family man for more than 3 weeks. I don't get it.
Brother, Giselle is giving you a chance, man. I know you still love her.
Don't blow it, bro. Go home to your wife. The kids miss you.
The wife and kid, they miss you. Like she broke up with that man.
I say this about Phillip Rivers too. The kids miss you. All 9 of them.
He's not Phillip Rivers.
I mean, they're making a football team, man. You talking about I might come out. San Francisco might be calling, Miami might be calling. Bro, sit down and go and coach your football team at home.
In Fairhope, by the way. They had a pretty darn good football team too this past year. So
that's Alabama, right?
Yeah. They were actually pretty good. Like, they came out, they were steamrolling guys. They hit a little rough patch, but then they got back to winning. They lost in the playoffs, but they're a pretty good program.
You don't want to coach them. Stay home, Phillip.
Yeah, he's getting guys there. Like he's getting guys there. But if he goes, I will say if he goes to San Francisco, I know he played in the year, but he's gonna have some fun handing the ball off to Christian McCaffrey and Eli Williams and Eli Mitchell.
George Kittle, the offensive line.
You know, I'm old. I thought about former Florida running back and defensive back who's from Milton, by the way. That's how I knew that. But those guys, really, what'd you say, Marcus?
Old as hell. You said it yourself. I'm just preparing off of you. But nah, in all seriousness, though, like,
seriously. Yeah, I have fun with that crew.
But like, what happens if, like, someone, like, say, Trey Lance gets healthy? Like, what happens?
Well, they're going to have a quarterback problem anyway because if he's healthy, Now you got to choose between him and Brock Purdy. Like, you have to let them battle it out.
Honestly, if it's close, I'd take Trey Lance, honestly. I'm not going to lie.
Well, because he can get away from pressure. Brock Purdy can't.
Also, he has just a higher ceiling. Plus, you spent like 5 years of your franchise on him. So it's like you got to get some ROI here.
Exactly. Sorry, I'm watching this Heat game too. Oh, Lord, it's taking years off my life.
What are you playing?
The Hawks. Oh, and by the way, there was a Duncan Robinson sighting.
On the court?
Yes, we finally put him out there.
You mean to say on the court and not in the podcast booth or not to take Tyler Hero to King of Diamonds?
He's on the court. You've heard us on the other podcast. Sorry, we're veering off a little bit, but we'll be back. But you've heard us on Indisputable Evidence. You've heard me say, I want this man on the court because we desperately need shooting.
You need shooting?
What about there?
He has some gravity to him. I mean, do I want to play him all the time? Obviously not. No, but like, put him in there for like 5 minutes or here.
You don't want to play him all the time because he's Ryan Gosling and remember the Titans.
His defense is shambolic, but he can't shoot.
He's an absolute liability.
Yeah.
But
anyway, who else we like to come by? I can't believe I'm saying this. Please forgive me, inside Florida Athletics fan, but I like Noah Smith. Ducking.
He said it, not me.
Hey, man. The boy looked good out there. I'm sorry. I apologize.
No, he doesn't mean it.
I don't mean it, but he did look good.
But yeah, Gervon Dexter, we kind of talked about him as well.
I didn't get the nerve, man. He looked good out there. He looked everybody 6'6". That's the other part.
He did. His official 40 time was a 4.88. So that's really good for him being 6'6 and 210 interior defensive lineman. So with his athleticism, where do you think he go? Do you think he has a chance to slide into the first round of this draft?
Sure. Some people always slide at the end of the first round all the time because you never know what teams need at the end. Because usually they'll either just take immediate needs or say, okay, screw it. We can afford to take a risk on somebody or just spend a pick on whoever. He can slide in there. I'd probably take him like middle second.
I will say this, though. There's one team at the end of the first round I'm looking at because now they have a decision to make.
Who are we looking at?
Kansas City. They're expected to release Frank Clark because they couldn't agree on a restructured deal.
That doesn't surprise me.
So I'm looking at them because.
But they don't play the same position, though. So, I mean, you can still do it.
Yeah, you can do it. I still think if Jahmyr Gibbs is there, that's who they're going to get. And if they do, like I said, go ahead and put them in the Super Bowl next year because, yeah.
I was arguing anyway, to be honest with you, but.
Now, I was too, but they get him. That's just not fair. I'm sorry. Like, at this point, that ain't fair. That's cruel and unusual punishment to anybody that's got to play them.
Like, stop, Andy. Why are you doing this to us?
Like, come on.
Let some of the other NFC teams get a chance. Stop this. No, in all seriousness, I would love to see that from a football standpoint. I would love to see that.
We should have known they traded up to get Patrick Mahomes that year in the draft. We should have known right then that, oh, shoot. They done done it now.
They finally realized they needed a real quarterback, and they got it, and they ain't letting them go.
And the crazy thing is everybody thought they were crazy.
I didn't.
Like, what is Kansas City doing? Like,
they're taking a gamble because – they were already really good. They were 13-3 that year.
With Alex Smith, who wasn't a bad quarterback.
No, but like he's also a quarterback that has a ceiling. They lost in the playoffs. They went 1-done in the playoffs. They held Pittsburgh to 18 points on 6 field goals.
I will say this. Alex Smith back then, if he was on this current team now, you want me to be honest? I think they still win the Super Bowl.
No.
Because of the talent around them. Because think about it. Chad Henne had to come in against y'all. He got a touchdown drive.
Isaiah Pacheco had a touchdown drive.
Look, Chad Henne made some throws too now. Come on now.
I mean, one throw when it was at the goal line on a pick route for Travis Kelce. I could have made that throw.
He still engineered the drive.
Because we also dropped an interception on that same drive. So, I mean, it is what it is.
That is very true. I'm still trying to figure that one out. But yeah, I could see a team like Kansas City drafting him. Maybe if not in the not late in the first round, if he does slide in the second round, maybe they kind of trade up to get him. Because I think if he doesn't end up in the first round, there are gonna be a lot of teams looking at him in the second round trying to trade up to get him. Because he's also, one of the
guys. My thing is that he's a running back, so like our team's really gonna trade up for him.
Hold on, I was talking about Gerv.
Oh, Gerv? Oh, I can see it, maybe.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of teams that will trade up for him. I honestly think so because
I guess
there's a lot of teams that need they need an interior defensive tackle, and you get one this athletic, it's a guy you can take a chance on because he, again, is one of those guys that's still kind of learning the game. And once he puts it all together, it's a wrap.
Sure, he's good. He's very good at run defense already. He's good. He's athletic. He's very much a flash player in the sense that you'll see it in these like small to medium spurts, and then he'll some things will happen. But like, it's not like he's not a lazy player or anything like that. Like, you can coach him up to be a little more consistent. You can do that. Right. So I wouldn't hate it if someone tried to do it.
But I will say this: if he does go to Kansas City, you pair him next to Chris Jones. Good luck. That's all I'm going to say. Good luck.
Give that man a break, please. That's all I'll say about Kansas City.
He going to get a break. Your prize, 6'6", 310, 488 speed coming right after you through the middle.
Hey.
Look.
Anyway, what else we got before we wrap this up?
The only thing really I would say – recruiting wise, it was not much to get into. I mean, you had visitors on campus, but basketball got to win. We're down 12 early to the worst team in the SEC, and I was about to throw my TV. Decided not to. Decided to keep the game on
because I was trying to. You said I'd be throwing TVs.
I was trying to watch that and the baseball game at the same time, so I was going back and forth between both TVs. They started coming back because Riley Cooper decided to go ahead and pretty much say, give me the ball and get out the way.
Hey, man, Riley Cooper getting a little bit of buzz from some people.
Yeah, Gator fans, prepare yourselves to possibly lose him. What the hell?
Honestly, the way he's playing, I don't think it's possibly. I think it's probably.
Marcus, you might want to check on Jerry.
Oh, yeah, the Cavs beat Boston again?
Yep. Don't check on him because I know he's in shambles right now. But yeah, Riley Cooper is getting a lot of draft buzz right now. I think he's gonna test the waters for the NBA. And if he performs really well there and he gets maybe a middle of the first round grade, he's gone.
Yeah, if he tests well. Because his scoring has gone up, like, tremendously ever since, like, Castle injury. If he gets into the combine, he looks good, he interviews well, tests well, scouts like him, and he gets a good grade, yeah, I don't think he's going to be on campus anymore.
Yeah, which would be unfortunate because if we land 2024, possibly 2023 guard, Deedon Thomas, I want to see that potential. I want to see that backcourt. I really do. I mean, I think the staff and the team, they feel confident that Kugel's coming back. But like we just said on here, I mean, he's getting draft buzz. If he gets the middle of the first round, great. He's gone. But if not, he gets like late first round, maybe early second, I think he comes back to campus. So
Gonna have to leave that up to the bag, man, to figure that out.
NIL deal, whoever coming up with it, do what you can. But yeah, like I said, I want to see that potential backcourt if we land Deedon Thomas. Deedon Thomas is an elite guard from Henderson, Nevada, which I think is right outside of Las Vegas.
Yep.
So, he took his official visit this past weekend. Before it was his last one. He had already visited Gonzaga, Arizona, I think UCLA, and I want to say Kansas. I got to look that up to be sure, but I think it was those schools. So, if we're able to land him and there's talks of him reclassifying, I think he's going to reclassify wherever he goes. If it's Florida, I think he immediately comes in and starts. But like I said, him with Riley Cooper and the other guys that return next year, like Will Richard, Yeah, I want to see. Hopefully, that roster is a lot better. Thomas Hall also coming in. Think he'll carve out a role. And I think it's another five-star big from Gaines. That's in Gainesville, by the way, I think.
Are we going to miss out on like the last five-star big that was in Gainesville?
Yeah, don't bring that up.
I'm sorry.
And he wasn't even a five-star at the time.
Even worse.
He was a four-star that was starting to be a late bloomer, and Kansas was just on him the entire time.
Of course they were. Fucking Bill Self.
Either. Literally. But, yeah, the one for that, because I think Florida did finish second for him, which is unfortunate.
That's also terrifying. He finished second.
Yeah, but it's another five-star bid. They're trying to go after that. There's rumors of him reclassifying. So if we can add him as well, you got a revamped roster that can possibly do some damage next year, I hope. Because Bama right now is Bama.
Which is crazy to say in basketball, but we are.
That is, Lord. We like I said, we in the Twilight Zone.
Yeah, before I start to cry about it, let's log off, bro.
Yeah, let's go ahead. Jared, we miss you. Yeah, we know you in shambles right now because your Celtics lost. So we sorry. We know that's why you couldn't join us because you was watching. I'm just kidding.
But we'll talk about it tomorrow, Jerry. Don't you worry.
Oh, you ain't ducking smoke tomorrow. You gonna be on tomorrow. Go make sure of that.
Oh, 100%. We'll lock that in.
Yeah. You make sure to call and text them. But
my call and text line is on point as we speak, sir.
I will go ahead and tell y'all. Y'all can follow Jerry on Twitter at JBreezyII and his burner account. I am BreezyII and follow him on Instagram at JLamar_. Yeah. Let everybody know where they can follow you, Marcus, even though it's probably on screen.
Yeah, it's on the screen if you're watching this at MarcusDavis904. If you aren't, I will be talking incessantly about the Jags and about everything else in between. So let me know.
There we go, right there.
There we go. Scrolling on the bottom.
Scrolling on at the bottom. I wish I could do the music that he puts on. I gotta ask him about that. Yeah.
That's sweet nothings that he whispers onto the podcast.
What?
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I got to figure that out. By the way, but yeah, and follow Nick Delatorre on Twitter at Delatorre. And subscribe to Gators Online on 3 Marcus. Subscribe.
$10 will be given.
Come on. You gonna have fun on that. Get some crazy folks on there, but you gonna have some fun. But you can follow me on Twitter at AceWade1, on Instagram at Ace_Wade1, ladies. You can follow the podcast account on Twitter at @Inside_Swamp and on Instagram at @Inside_FortAthletics. What's wrong with me just saying it for the ladies?
Oh, no, I'm saying speedruns to my iPad. All
right. You got the song. I think you got the song this week, don't you?
I'm pretty sure I do.
Yeah, you do. So.
Yeah. We'll go Crop 'Em Out the Picture by SCY Jim.
You got to send that one to me because I'm sure not going to remember that one.
I got you.
And charge your iPad when we do this.
I am. My thing ain't working, but anyway.
Get a new charger. But yeah. With that, this has been another great episode of the Swamp Inside Florida Athletics. Jerry will be back on next week. That we can leave you as we always do. God bless. Stay safe. Go Gators. Take care of your loved ones. Tell them you love them. Take care of your mentals. Wear your mask out there. Wash your hands. Marcus.
Wash your dirty, swamp infested, stank booty, gluteus medius and maximus, or better known as yes.
We got to find a way to put that up there where Red Man's mom and How High says wash it. We got to put that in now.
We got to do it.
Yeah. But that. Y'all have a great night. God bless y'all. Go Gators. We'll see y'all next week.
As always. Right over left, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, press you going stupid. and then mixed by L. Mix this.
Nigga. Fuck a nigga.
Came a long way from the block. Y'all can head it to the top. My mind is spinning. If you can't see the bigger picture, you getting cropped. These niggas waiting on me to flop. I'm already knowing this shit. They done gave Lil Jim a shot. Fuck, I look like blowing the shit. He said he gon' do what to who? Gotta be lacking brain cell. I was out here serving, grinding, even when that rain fell. Nigga claim his love, but never show it. Nigga, I can't tell. Took a couple losses, made a dub out of them same L's. On my grind like Naja Houston, but I still ain't been to testing. Shorty mad cause I ain't ride her back, but I don't do the testing. Told him what it was several times, they still ain't get the message. Came a long way from the bottom, look back and you'll see the progression. Niggas hating and they doubt it. These niggas scream a lot, they say the softest be the loudest. I know they wanna take me out, but I will not allow it. At shows 30 deep, three different sessions, overcrowded.
Nigga, yeah. Nigga said I wouldn't make it, I'm demonstrating, showing them. Bitch, I aim with precision. Nigga plan on blowing him. Fly, nigga, that ain't a bird or a plane. Bitch, it's Jim. If you jump up in that ocean, boy, you better know how to swim.
Crazy about that check, that shit be fucking up my mental. Keep that lead, but I don't remember the last time I held a pencil. Every time we fuck, I slut her out, she telling me be gentle. I'm a star, bitch, I was made for this, this shit ain't accidental. Came a long way from the block, y'all can head it to the top. My mind is spinning, if you can't see the bigger picture, you getting cropped. These niggas waiting on me to flop. I'm already knowing this shit. They done gave Lil Jim a shot. Fuck, I look like blowing the shit. He said he gon' do what to who? Gotta be lacking brain cell. I was out here serving, grinding, even when that rain fell. Nigga claim his love, but never show it. Nigga, I can't tell. Took a couple losses, made a dub out of them same L's.